I invite Joshua up here for our scripture reading. And so I'll be reading from the New International Version. And I'll read, so we have six verses here. And that'll be the one that's projected. And then I invite you to close your eyes when... Well, you can close them now, right? But anyhow, for when you're listening to Joshua reading from the Message, don't be focused on there because it's going to be different, and it's intentional to hear the two different ways to hear the same scripture. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do."
Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work."
"All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him."
Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. "The Father has given me all these things to say, do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen."
"Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
"Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly."
Blessing, Steve.
This morning, I especially want to do some reflection on something that's going to be happening Wednesday night. Conestoga Valley Schools are going to have their annual community bonfire, which is on the grounds of the school on Wednesday night. And this year, the ministerium, the Conestoga Valley Ministerium, is going to have a presence there. And just to let you know how that developed, this is the first year that we're going to be doing that. And early in the year, an idea came to our ministerial meetings about having some kind of a community event, like hosting a picnic at a park in Leola and inviting the community, and just wasn't getting any traction. And then sometime in the spring, Pastor Joel from down the street at Faith Church had the idea, why don't we join something that's already happening in the community? Rather than creating something and inviting, let's join something that's already happening, which actually I think is a good idea for church too. You know, we might think, what kind of event can we create and invite the community to rather than maybe becoming involved in something the community is already doing and being a presence there. So Joel also shared a chapter from the book Blue Like Jazz by Donald Miller. Is that a familiar book to anyone? Probably 10, 15, 20 years ago maybe that came out. But back when he was in college, he went to Reed College, which I think, if I remember right, is in the Northwest. But there was a small group of Christians there, and they kind of made a similar decision. Let's make our presence known or be a part of something that's going on in the campus. And they chose the Ren Fair or the Renaissance Fair that this college has every year. And And the climate, it wasn't very faith-friendly, at least at that time in the college life. He said they saw a bumper sticker on campus, "Too bad we can't feed Christians to the lions anymore." Like, that's kind of the atmosphere, at least by some there. But they decided they wanted to be a presence. And as they were brainstorming, their first thought was, let's have a confessional booth. And they kind of said it as a joke, where people could come and confess their sins. But as they were talking, they hit on this idea, let's do that. Let's make a confessional booth. But when people come, we're going to confess our sins to them rather than them confessing to us. And so that's what they chose to do. And so Neil is going to come and join me. In the midst of this chapter, he gives a dialogue that he had with the first person who showed up to the confessional booth. So, if you could turn the chair. Picture me as Donald Miller. He's wearing a monk outfit because it's a Renaissance fair. And you could picture Neil or Jake in a concert t-shirt or something like that, who's at this Renaissance fair. So it started where I asked him his name, and he said his name was Jake. So we'll go from there.
So what is this? I'm supposed to tell you all the juicy gossips I did at Ren Fair, right?
No.
Okay, then what? What's the game?
Not really a game, more of a confession thing.
You want me to confess my sins, right?
No, that's not what we're doing, really.
What's the deal, man? What's with the monk outfit?
Well, we are, a group of Christians here on campus, you know?
I see. Strange place for Christians, but I'm listening.
Thanks. He was being very patient and gracious. Anyway, there's this group of us, just a few of us, who were thinking that the way Christians have sort of wronged people over time, you know, the Crusades and all that stuff.
Well, I doubt you personally were involved in any of that, man.
No, I wasn't. But the thing is, we're followers of Jesus. We believe that he's God and all. And he represents certain ideas that we've sort of not done a good job of representing. He's asked us to represent him well, but it's been very hard.
I see.
So there's this group of us on campus. We wanted to confess to you.
You're confessing to me?
Yes, we're confessing to you. I mean, I'm confessing to you.
You're serious.
I told him I was. He looked at me and told me I didn't have to. I told him I did. And I felt very strongly in that moment that I was supposed to tell Jake that I was sorry for everything.
What are you confessing?
Everything.
Explain.
There's a lot. I'll keep it short. Jesus said to feed the poor and to heal the sick. I've never done very much about that. Jesus said to love those who persecute me. I tend to lash out, especially if I feel threatened. You know, if my ego gets threatened. Jesus didn't mix his spirituality with politics. I grew up doing that. It got in the way of the central message of Christ. I know that was wrong, and I know that a lot of people will not listen to the words of Christ because people like me, who know him, carry our own agendas into the conversation rather than just relaying the message Christ wants us to get across. There's a lot more, you know.
It's all right, man.
Well, I'm sorry for all that.
I forgive you.
Thanks.
It's really cool what you guys are doing. A lot of people need to hear this.
Have we hurt a lot of people?
You haven't hurt me. I just think it isn't very popular to be a Christian, you know, especially at a place like this. I don't think too many people have been hurt. Most people just have a strong reaction to what they see on television. All those well-dressed preachers supporting the Republicans.
That's not the whole picture, I said. That's just television. I have friends who are giving their lives to feed the poor and to defend the defenseless. They're doing it for Christ.
You really believe in Jesus, don't you?
Yes, I think I do. Most often I do. I have doubts at times, but mostly I believe. It's like there's something in me that causes me to believe. I can't explain it.
You said earlier that there was a central message of Christ. I don't really want to become a Christian, you know. But what is that message?
The message is that man sinned against God, and God gave the world over to humanity. That if somebody wanted to be rescued out of that, if somebody, for instance, found it all very empty, that Christ would rescue them if they want. That is, if they ask for forgiveness for being part of that rebellion, then God will forgive them. What do you believe about God?
I don't know. I guess I didn't believe it for a long time, you know. The science of it is so sketchy. I guess I believe in God, though. I believe somebody's responsible for all of this. This world we live in, it's all very confusing.
Jake, if you want to know God, you can. I'm just saying, if you ever want to call on Jesus, he'll be there.
Thanks, man. I believe that you mean that. This is cool what you guys are doing. I'm going to tell my friends about it.
I don't know whether to thank you for that or not. I have to sit here and confess all of my crap.
It's worth it.
Thanks. What I like about that conversation is, like in Sunday school, we talked about how we can be really cynical towards certain groups or certain places, certain towns, whatever. And in this college campus, like in many places, there could be the cynicism, like the group of Christians looking at their fellow students and seeing them as somehow being godless heathen. The students looking at the Christians and seeing them as irrelevant and maybe even hypocritical. But this event allowed them to sit down together, people from these two different perspectives and ways of living, and have a genuine conversation. And you could see that Jake has some spiritual yearnings or has thought about things. You can see that Donald here is genuine about his faith. And they were able to kind of be able to speak that to each other and just provide new possibilities for the future. So I'm not suggesting that Wednesday night's going to look anything like that. I just thought it was a good example of how we as people of faith can put ourselves in positions to bless or to have conversation, to be open to others. And hopefully in that genuine encounter, God moves and something happens through that. Donald Miller says, too often in the past, I tried to get people to agree with me rather than to meet God. But I think he did a good job here in this event. So this week at the bonfire, we have this opportunity to interact with the community. And specifically, we're going to be open to pray with them. So we'll have a booth or a table or whatever as people are passing through. There's all these different community organizations that will be represented there. But just be a chance to talk to people, and we'll have a tent. If anybody wants prayer for anything, you can feel free to sit down with one of us, and we'll pray for you. We'll pray for your situation. I was part of the planning committee, and one of the things we had to think through is, like, all these different organizations are somehow presenting themselves and what they offer to the community. Like Conestoga Valley Seeds, new ministry. They're going to try to somehow get across that they're there to try to be a place to offer resources for housing, for health, for education. The fire company is going to let people know that they're there to provide fire safety and fire rescue. Maybe they'll teach you how to use a fire extinguisher or, what was the other example, April?
Change
the batteries of your fire alarm, you know, those kinds of things. So what is it that the churches have to offer? And we came up with this idea that we have hope to offer. And so this is part of our brochure. And the brochure is in the bulletin. So it has the name of every church in the, at least in the ministerium, not, there's more in the area, but an invitation to that and just a message for the people there. So I just want to think for a minute, and if I could get feedback from you, just thinking through as people potentially would stop and be willing to have someone pray with them of something that's really burdening them. I just wonder, I thought it'd be helpful if we could even be thinking what might be some of the prayer concerns that might come up in that setting. If anybody has any ideas, you can call it out. Just general, you know, not specific, but what would be the types of prayer requests that might be asked in a setting like that? Health concerns? Yeah. Big one. People concerned about their health or somebody else's health. Okay, housing. Yeah. I was at a Seeds breakfast this week, and they said there's many families, homeless families, living in motels here on Route 30, paying over $500 a week. So over $2,000 they're putting out for housing for one bedroom, you know, a hotel room for their family, and, you know, doesn't leave a lot of other resources for living. So housing, yeah. Nate, do you have
financial
concerns? Yeah.
Divorce,
and in general, like relationship turmoil, marriage, families, in the workplace, in your neighborhood. Yeah, Kirsten.
Loss of a loved one.
Okay, loss, grief. You know, spiritual things like just like issues of the soul. That burden us can be something that might be brought up. I thought of loneliness or feeling isolated from others or isolated because of fear or anxiety. So lots of things like that. So, and so in that setting, for them at least to get a glimpse, they must have some hope if they asked for prayer for it. And to be able to sit down with someone who hopefully shows care towards them and prays and lifts this up to God on their behalf and next to them, hopefully is a way that generates hope. And then just to think how are each of our churches, including how is Whitmer Heights a place where people can come and find hope in our midst? How can we be that kind of church? So I want to think about that and look at the list here. But I just want to revisit Matthew 11 that Joshua and Neil read for us. But again, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, because you've hidden these things. Like this message that there's hope, that God is moving to bring about his redeeming purposes, to give hope and to give life. It's being hidden from those who maybe feel like they have it all figured out and don't need that, but it's been open to those who have childlike faith and who can reach out in hope. It's being offered to those people. And he goes on to say that everything's been committed to me by my Father. God, the Father's given me all authority to bring about his purposes, his goodness, his hope and his life. It's all in my hands if you would reach out by faith for that and come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take on my yoke and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. Like, the yoke might feel heavy, but I'm going to help you carry that. And in me, I lighten your burdens. And Jesus, I think, especially here, is speaking to people who feel religious burdens, the burdens that have been put on them by the leaders of the day. But Jesus says, come to me and find true rest and true life in me as God offers it to you. So the church can be that place where people can come and in Jesus find their burdens lifted, find hope. Just as hopefully together we're finding hope and our spiritual, our every burden of life is lightened because we're part of this community. How can others be invited in to experience that with us? And looking specifically I was again part of the planning team, and we had to think, you know, what is it exactly? How would we describe the hope that we're offering to people? And so there's these five things that we came up with. One, first of all, that God is good and gracious to forgive. No one's going to approach God with confidence if they don't feel that maybe he's good and gracious and I can turn to him. In Psalm 104, it says, Psalm 103, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives my sins. He heals my diseases. He redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. Can we begin to believe that? Can people have that hope? If God's for us, who can be against us? So even as we are beginning to dwell in that, others can find that God in our midst as well. Secondly, hope for a fresh start in life. That the gospel is all about new beginnings and fresh starts. And if you're going to have a fresh start in life, it's so important to have a supportive community to embark on that fresh start, you know. Not to hear cynical voices to say, you give it up, you know, you'll never change, you're worthless, whatever. It's so important to have that supportive community as people make fresh starts. You know, people in 12-step recovery programs, that community is so important to them, you know, even every day to meet with them, that honesty and that supportive relationship that they have. That's what the church can be as we're embarking on these fresh starts in life with Jesus, walking in his way. And thirdly, because God gives us a purpose in life. There's hope because in Christ we find the true meaning and the purpose of life, that we can share love, that we can invite hope, that we can work for what's right and just, you know. And we find that, we find a people in the church who are hopefully doing that, living out that purpose. You know, some of the things that describe Jesus, he was a light that shines in the darkness, or he was peace that, he's peace that comes in the midst of chaos, you know. Just like at creation, the Holy Spirit hovered over the darkness and the chaos, until there was light and God began to create. And so as his people in the church, our purpose is to shine light where there's darkness and to offer peace where life is chaotic. And we find that, but then we offer it and we go out and offer that to other people. So there's great purpose in living that gives us hope. Fourth, because we have a community of people who support us. Kind of goes along with number two, but there's hope because we're surrounded by that support. Ellen, our daughter, texted us this week. We have like a family texting chain. And she said, shout out to the Mennonites. She was listening to a podcast, Krista Tippett's. I don't know if anybody on NPR, I forget the name of, On Being, yeah. It's kind of conversations with spiritual overtones to them. And she was interviewing this author, and this author was describing her upbringing in a Mennonite church, I think on the plains of Canada somewhere, Manitoba. And But the one thing that especially stuck out that she said from her upbringing is she says that Mennonites don't let people suffer alone. I just thought, like, I hope that's true. I would like to be part of that group. Mennonites don't let people suffer alone. We're there for each other. There's hope in the church because you find a people who are there for you. And then we have the ultimate hope, number five, for eternal life under Jesus' lordship. That ultimate hope that we live in the light and the goodness and the glory of God forever under Jesus' lordship. But even today, we're beginning to live into that. We're experiencing the glory of God and his goodness in our lives. So that's the message that we hope to get across. Hopefully in our interactions, it lines up with what our written message is, or our message is there. And so I'd like to close this time with a prayer, and I'd like to pray for our community. I'd like to pray for this event Wednesday night, and I'd like to pray for us as a church, that we truly are a community that offers hope for anyone who would come and join us. So would you join me in prayer? God, we praise you and we thank you that you are a God who speaks hope to us, that you invite us, Jesus, to come in our weariness, when we are heavy laden with spiritual burdens and physical burdens and social burdens, and that we can find rest in you. I pray that you would stir in the midst of our community a longing for what the true life and the hope and the forgiveness and the grace and the love and the mercy that you have to offer, that there would be a stirring and a hunger for that. And that at this event Wednesday night, those who are there, that you would stir them to trust that they can come and pray with someone, and in hope put their trust in you in the midst of that burden. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would move in a powerful way in those people's lives, that they would see your goodness and your mercy and your power. Be with those of us who are praying with others. May we truly have the heart of Jesus. And may, in whatever way, may we present ourselves truly as the Church of Jesus on Wednesday. And I pray for our church here at Whitmer Heights that, first of all, in our midst, in our community life, we would live in hope in these ways. And that as people come and join us, that they would experience the hope of Christ, Jesus in us. So Lord, thank you that we have this message to share, and just pray that you would give us your favor to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and offer to others to come, those who are weary and heavy laden, and find rest in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.